You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
Do whatever you want, but don't touch my wallet. Welcome to Through the Bible. It's curious how tolerant we all can be of anything, that is, until it touches our money. Maybe that's because we often find our security there or our sense of significance. Well, regardless, our attitude is usually hands off. And this was as true in the first century as it is now. We'll find that out in our study today, beginning in Acts chapter 19. For 2 years, the gospel was taking root in people's hearts in the city of Ephesus. That's where the Apostle Paul was. People were turning from their idols to Jesus Christ, and it was upsetting the idol industry in Ephesus. Man, wouldn't it be great if our righteous living kicked the godless industries out of our towns? You know, you may have noticed that we don't talk about money that much on Through the Bible, but just like any other Bible teaching ministry, we do rely on the financial investments and prayer partnerships of the people who are blessed by this program. So please pray for this partnership, would you? That the people would be blessed and that they would respond in godly, generous ways. Dr. McGee spoke about it this way, and it's his wisdom that we still apply to the stewardship of this program. Let's listen.
It has never been our plan or purpose from the very beginning to use high-pressure methods. We do not send out junk mail. Everyone that's on our mailing list got there because they asked to be put there, or else someone asked for them. We today believe that if you are not able to support the program and you want our notes and outlines, that God will raise up somebody down the street or over in the next town to send in enough for you and for them also. We believe that the real test is the support that comes from any area, and we will not continue on a program if we do not get a reasonable amount of support. And we always give every station a fair opportunity to see if it's going to pay for itself. And that, by the way, is all that we ask. We do from time to time appeal to you to support our foreign broadcasts. After all, we cannot ask them, that is, the Chinese or the people of India or the people of South America or the people in Russia to support our program. We believe that there are enough folk in this country that are interested in getting out the word over iron curtains, under bamboo curtains, and through the curtains of indifference and sin today to get the word of God out to the world. So we just let you know this and trust you'll understand that we do need your support, though we will not violate our rule by using high-pressure methods.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you supply all of our needs and allow us to stand with you in taking the whole word to the whole world. Please bless those whose hearts you've moved towards generosity in this privilege. Let the study of your timeless word reach someone who maybe has never heard of your grace today. It's only through Jesus' name that we can ask this. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, last time we went with Paul on his third missionary journey as he came to the city of Ephesus. He went over the Galatian country where he had been twice before, and now he comes to a new place, and that's Ephesus. He'd gone by there on the way back from his second missionary journey, but he had actually no ministry there. But now he comes again, but there had preceded him a very great preacher, Apollos, and this man did not know anything concerning the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it was Aquila and Priscilla who took him aside and told him about these things. All he knew was the baptism of John. And as a result, these people had not received the Holy Spirit. And Paul detected it. And the better translation of verse 2 here is, did ye receive the Holy Spirit when ye believed? The moment you trust Christ, friends, you're regenerated by the Spirit of God, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you are sealed by the Spirit of God, and you're baptized into the body of believers by the Spirit of God. And this happens the moment you trust Christ. Now, Paul had to leave the synagogue there because of the fact that there was a great deal of opposition to him, and he moved his place of operation, that is, where he was speaking, to the school of Tyrannus. And let's move on from there, and I'd like to read beginning at verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, what was the school of Tyrannus? Well, the school of Tyrannus was a school that was conducted for the Ephesians, and they had a siesta in the middle of the day, probably 2 and sometimes 3 hours. Now, in that particular period, and that was a period when people could come in and hear Paul, he secured these quarters. I imagine he rented them, and in that space there of the siesta in the middle of the day, Paul for 2 years preached the Word of God. Now, notice what happened during that period. Verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia, now that means the province of Asia, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, this gives you some conception of how the word of God was growing in that day. And apparently, from that vantage point, the church in Colossae came into existence. You see, Paul wrote to the Colossians as he did to the Romans, and he'd never even visited there. But he was the founder of the church. And how was he the founder of the church in Colossae? By the simple fact that from the school of Tyrannus, there sounded out the gospel, and it went out everywhere. So much so that Paul could say, when he wrote the Corinthians, and they were wanting him to come over there, he says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, that's in 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. Now, for 2 years, that gospel sounded out so that everyone had heard in the province of Asia. And I think that the 7 churches of Asia Minor came into existence through the preaching of Paul the Apostle at this particular place. I'm not sure, but what we could say here is where he had his greatest ministry. Now, will you notice what happened here? And God wrought special miracles. Now, the word for miracles here is a little different word. It's dunamis, and we get our word dynamite from that. God wrought special powers by the hands of Paul. Now, you see, he's exercising the gifts of an apostle. Now, here in this great religious center, and it was a greater religious center than Athens or any other place, and it was a place that was satanic to the very core. The great temple of Diana was there. When we get to the epistle to the Ephesians, we'll be talking about these different places Paul visited in a great deal more detail than we can here in the book of Acts. And I want to talk about that temple and about the satanic worship that was carried on in that place. Now, in order to meet that opposition, God granted him special powers so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, I'd like to pause there a moment to say something that needs to be said today. What were these handkerchiefs or aprons, as they're called also? Well, Paul used these in his work. Remember, he was a tent maker. And that's a warm climate. Now, when he's bending over making a tent, why, he perspires. And perspiration would drop down on the tent he's making. So he has there a handkerchief or an apron that he just reaches down, gets up, and mops his brow. And it was a dirty thing, they were. And the people came and picked up these dirty handkerchiefs, and the disease departed from them. Now, it was true that in that area there were the mystery religions, and they went in for cleanliness. They used white garments, white everything. Everything had to be just cleaned, and everything had to be just so. And it's, as it were, God is rebuking all of that. And these dirty sweat bands were picked up by the people and were used actually in healing. They're not quite what folks seem to think today that they were. And it reveals the special power that was granted to the Apostle Paul. And as far as I know, this is the only incident that this ever took place. And that includes the modern day in which we live, friends. It's almost next to blasphemy for anybody to say that they've got a power of sending out some little handkerchief and that there's power in that. To begin with, for Paul, it wasn't a handkerchief. They just come and get these old sweat cloths that were there. And that was the thing God was using to rebuke the heathen pagan religions of that day. And the evil spirits went out of them. Now, will you notice, then certain of the vagabond Jews, these are the wandering Jews, they were going from place to place, and they were engaged in this type of thing of casting out demons themselves. In fact, they dealt with the occult. They were connected with the mystery religions, and I wish we had time to talk about those mystery religions. And we have this incident now that takes place here. They were exorcists. They took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Now they saw what Paul did, and they tried to duplicate it. Now here is a specific incident. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so." Now the priests actually had gone into this type of thing. And will you notice, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Now, Jesus I know is, that's the word genosko. They knew who he was. "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Now, the attempt of the sons of Sceva to try to duplicate the miracles of Paul, you see, backfired. And it backfired to their humiliation and hurt. It was great embarrassment, apparently, for them. Now, will you notice verse 17, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." Now, you see the effect that this sort of thing had. It caused the name of the Lord Jesus to be spread through that entire pagan city. And Ephesus, friends, was a great city, and the entire city was shaken by this. You can see that the miracles Paul performed, the other apostles, it wasn't the type thing that you hear of today. Who's moved by these things today? Why, they've been coming and going in Los Angeles and Southern California for years, and it's made no dent or impression on this great pagan city here. But Ephesus was shaken to its very foundation, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Well, he's not magnified in this area. Now, verse 18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Well, that would be approximately $8,000 today. That's quite a bonfire, by the way, an $8,000 bonfire. And that's what you have here. "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now, will you notice, after these things were ended, that is, after these experiences that Dr. Luke has recorded here took place, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, apparently, after this missionary journey, it was the intention of Paul to go to Rome. And the interesting thing is he did, but not the way he planned it. Now, will you notice, verse 22, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Now, this was the time that he wrote the Corinthians, and apparently Timothy and Erastus took the letter and told the people in Macedonia. That would include Philippi, Thessalonica, and would also include those that were in Achaia, which would be Athens, and Corinth. That great door and effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. And we see now what the adversaries are: satanic. This is a center of pagan religion that was Satan worship. Satan worship is not new at all. Now, will you notice verse 23, and the same time there arose no small stir about that way. You see, Christianity at that time didn't have the name of a church or a denomination at all. It was just called that way. It was a new way. Certainly was. The way was the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. Now, we read this story here, verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, or Artemis, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now you see around this great temple of Diana that was there, and that was a great pagan temple, and it was the center of business, by the way. It was the bank of that day, and it also was a center of sin, and gross immorality that took place around it. You know, religion can go lower than anything else. And it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the largest Greek temple that was ever built. It was beautiful. Some of the works of Praxiteles were there. But the image of Diana was hideous. It was not the Diana of the Greeks, a graceful image, but this was the crude, many-breasted Oriental Diana. And they were selling these little images, you see. It was big business that he's interfering with. And the uproar of the silversmiths, led by Demetrius, it centered actually about their bread and butter. They made these little images, sold them, and they were doing well. And the Temple of Diana in Ephesus, here it was, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. We're going to talk about it when we get to the Epistle of Ephesians. And they have this meeting about it. Now, notice what took place. And he called the workmen together of like occupation, and he said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. They were getting rich. And I tell you, you don't step on a man's pocketbook without hearing him say, ouch. And notice verse 26, moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Now this was the center of commerce, the center of worship, and the center of religion, actually the center for the Orient and the Occident. Here is where East is East and West is West, and Kipling was wrong. They did meet in Ephesus, and the worst of both came out. Verse 28, and when they heard these things, they were full of wrath, cried out, saying, great's Diana of the Ephesians. Now, they got a bunch of placards. This is a day when we don't have any writers, except they can write one sentence placards. And in that day, they were good at that. And so they're not very original. They just put on the placard, great is Diana the Ephesians, went around the city squealing that out. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. Well, Paul would have been mobbed, of course. Absolutely, he would have been slain. And he's had one experience like that over in the Galatian country in Lystra. Now, in verse 31, I'm reading, "And certain of the chief of Asia," these are called Asiarchs, "which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater." There was a mob there, and these men were outstanding men in that area. Many of them had turned to Christ, and they advised Paul. They said it'd be foolish for you to go into the mob. You wouldn't do a bit of good. "Some therefore cried one thing and some another." Real mob, you see. "For the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not whereof they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people." Now, he was a local official. "But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.'" This is what's known as freedom of speech. They didn't permit him to speak because they wanted to run around and squeal, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Now, when the town clerk had appeased the people, and the town clerk really means he's a local official, had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." In other words, he says, you're making too much out of this. Well, look at this great temple, and this is a popular thing. Why, we know that nothing can happen to this. And all, of course, that's been in ruins for nearly 2,000 years now. Now, will you notice? And he says, "For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open. Their deputies, let them implead one another." In other words, if you want to bring a case against these men, the court is open, and that they do not need to worry about the worship of Diana. And if they want to make a legal charge, they can do that. Well, when this man called their attention to what they were doing, why, they immediately break up when the crowd goes home. Notice this, "But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly." And I said, if you have something else, well, let's all sit down and put down the placards and quit running around squealing and sit down and let's have an orderly meeting. Well, that's what they didn't want, of course. "For we are in danger to be called in question." That is, we are in danger of being accused for this day's riot. Riots are not new, friends. This is something that sounds very much up to date. "There being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And the crowd, they all went home. And now the work of Paul actually in Ephesus is ended. His ministry is over now. And we find, "And after the uproar was ceased," and I'm moving now to chapter 20, verse 1, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece," which means he went to Athens, "and to Corinth, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail unto Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus, and Trophimus." All of these now were believers that had come to Christ under his ministry, and he has quite a delegation now, and these men are missionaries. "These going before tarried for us at Troas." Now, we're going to have to leave off there today. All right, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
We'll pick up there next time in our study through the book of Acts. So go ahead and read ahead if you can. There's great truth to come. To partner with us in prayer or financially, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also go to ttb.org, and you can always write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. If you're a Canadian listener, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1 is the address for you to write. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, looking forward to continuing our journey through the Bible.
Jesus made it all, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word to the whole world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM and W260 CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Praise the Lord. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity today to, wherever you are, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and hearing the unadulterated Word of God. We thank the Lord for your listening ears and everything that you're doing, members that are in the body of Christ, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your opportunity is still available as long as you have breath to breathe this air that God has allowed you to breathe. Praise God. We love you and we thank God for you. Well, today we want to talk about the kingdom of God. Many people at some point have forgotten that the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. Apostle Paul spoke about the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking this morning, praise the Lord, about the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not just in word only. Now, I want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about. It's not in just word only. The kingdom of God is in power. Glory to God. I said power. Praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The power. Glory to God. And I tell you, when we demonstrate this power, praise God, because first of all, Jesus has told us, glory to God, that the power resonates on the inside of us as children of God. My body, praise the Lord, and I want you to grab this before we go further into this message here this morning, is that the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of God. So if your body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, praise God. Do you realize what I'm saying? The Spirit of God dwells or live on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is power, praise God. And this is why we allow the Spirit of God to direct everything that we are doing. We submit ourselves to His leadership, praise God. Because the Spirit of God is power in our lives. And when we pray for folks that are sick, who's on the inside of us becomes an external expression in power, not just in word, praise God, and bring forth deliverance or healing in the lives of the people. Praise God, because we don't depend on our ability or our strength. We depend on who is on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus saying, well, it is not I, but it's the Father that does the work. Praise God. I'm saying here this morning that it's not me, but it's the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of me. Praise God. When I pray for folks, lay hands on those that are sick, decrepit, whatever the problems may be, I want to tell you, I believe that the work is done. Glory to God. I said, I believe that the work is done, because the power of God, the kingdom of God, is on the inside of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember when Jesus was casting out devils. Praise God. A lot of folks don't want to hear about devils, but I want to tell you, there's one devil, but there are a host of demonic spirits. So what happened is that Jesus was casting out the devils, and what happened is that they couldn't believe, and they were saying that, well, he was casting out devils by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. But I want to tell you, they blaspheme God, but I want to say this here this morning, that when Jesus spoke, he said, if I cast out demons or devils by the finger of God, glory to his wonderful name, that must mean that the kingdom of God has come nigh you, up upon you. Praise God. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is power. It's not just words. And many people say, well, yeah, well, I believe in the kingdom of God. Well, demonstrate that power that's on the inside of you. Glory to God. Let it be demonstrated. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration, glory to God, of the Spirit and of power. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you if you are born again. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, in your body is God's temple. Let there be a manifestation of external expression that will come from you, glory to God, on an outward deliverance and healing and whatever the Spirit wants to do, glory to God. It's an external expression because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. It is not you in the natural. It is the Spirit of God, glory to God, that is doing that work in and through you. Praise God. The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You have, as a child of God, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. And you are now, as a born-again believer, you are in the kingdom of God. If you believe it and know who you are and by faith have received that, you are in the kingdom of God. Now the word of God tells us that you've been translated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's where you are. And you're in a kingdom that resonate, that has power. I said power, glory to God. And in that kingdom, there is a king, glory to God. And his name is King Jesus, glory to God. Somebody out there right now in Radio Land should be shouting that it's King Jesus, glory to God. You're in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. Praise the Lord. And in that kingdom, there's power. I said there's power, praise God. It's not just a kingdom in just words, but it's a kingdom in power. Praise God. The name of our God. Minister Gloria, listen, you know, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And I tell you, this is what God wants us. See, the word of God tells us that before you do anything, he's given us instruction. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you want to read that verse of scripture there in Matthew? Praise God.
Matthew 6, but I like to read the 25th verse first. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink,
glory to God,
nor yet for your body. On is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But you see, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first. That's number one, uno. The first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Seek the kingdom first. And most folks, what they do is that they seek other things first before they seek the kingdom. But I want to tell you, whatever's going on in your life today, I want to tell you, seek the kingdom first. Praise God. Because there are many things that are operating in the and through the kingdom of God. And if we seek the kingdom first, as the word of God tells us, seek that kingdom first. And he said that he'll provide everything else. If I understand that scripture correctly, he says here that seek ye first, not second, nor third, but he says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or perhaps seek the kingdom and his righteousness, or the way that God does things. Praise God. This is what we need to do, is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all other things will be added unto you. That means that when I seek the kingdom of God first, God's going to take care of the rest. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, because what we do is that we go around, we try to get everything else in order, and then say, well, now I've got all my ducks in a row, so now I'm going to seek the kingdom. But that's not what he said. He said, you do this first. Amen. You seek the kingdom first, the kingdom of God first, and then he says, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, what are those things? My God, everything that was previously mentioned. He will add those things unto you. And not only that, give you a fruitful life. Praise God. Bless you abundantly. That's what he will do. Glory to God. Because we are depending on him and not on ourselves or our abilities in terms of what we are able to do. But I want to tell you, this kingdom that I'm speaking of, my God, is a kingdom of power. And there's so many places today, you know, there are folks that are sick inside the church. There are folks that need deliverance inside the fellowship. There are folks that need all kinds of problems inside the fellowship. And I want to tell you that we that are in the body of Christ should know who we are in Christ, know what he has done for us on Calvary's cross, know that our body is God's temple and his spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I tell you, the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost should be demonstrated in our lives as children of God. My God, no wonder folks are leaving. They don't want to see all of this mundane and humdrum way of religion. They are looking for something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're looking for signs, my God. And what's happening is that all they're seeing is some old stale operation that's going on where God is not there. But I want to tell you, through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, glory to God, we walk around, we declare that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, then demonstrate. I want to say that again. Demonstrate this power. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, demonstrate this power that's on the inside of you. Don't talk about the power, but demonstrate the power. Most of us go around and we say, well, yeah, the power is on the inside of me. Well, I want to tell you that Apostle Paul said that he didn't come with enticing words. We don't need to entice people. We need to demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. I said, demonstrate the power of the Spirit. Glory to God. And if you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, because that's where he would take up residence. Your body would be his temple, and his spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. Glory to God. And there would be a manifestation of an external expression. Glory to God. That's why when folks look at you, they see that there is something different about you. And when you pray for them, glory to God, they get blessed. Hallelujah. Not because of what you're doing, but because of the one that dwells on the inside of you. Praise the name of God. You know, Apostle Paul was telling us that the same Spirit, hallelujah, are you listening to me out there in radio land? The same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I'm talking about resurrected power, hallelujah. I'm talking about the glory of God. My Lord, my glory to God, hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, that power is the power of God. The power of God is on the inside of you. Everyone that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have the power of God operating in your life. And this is why we need to stop talking about power. We need to stop talking about the kingdom of God and demonstrate this kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not just words. It is power. Hallelujah. I say power, glory to the name of our God, among many other things. Hallelujah. And this is why when we demonstrate this kingdom that's on the inside of us, hallelujah, I said this kingdom that is on the inside of us, glory to God, the kingdom of God, glory to God. Mens Sa Gloria.
Right. In Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, anything fleshy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Say that again.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Oh, my goodness. You know, folks going around there talking about the kingdom. I tell you, we all speak about the kingdom. We tell people that we are in the kingdom of God. We tell people that the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We say these things. But I want to tell you today that folks out there, not only in Radio Land, but folks that are sitting in fellowship, that's why the congregation is dwindling down, because they are tired of talk. We are talking about something that we don't possess. We are talking about power that's not on the inside of us. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land? Folks want to see something. I said folks want to see something. They don't want to just hear words. And all of us are guilty of it. My God, when we lay down at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer and allow his anointing and his power to be demonstrated in and through us, glory to God, folks will begin to see the signs, hallelujah, that there's a real power that's demonstrated in and through you. Glory to God. Many folks today are just looking at some old dead preacher in a dead church preaching a dead sermon. There's no life to it. But I want to tell you, this thing is supposed to, by the power of the living God, be demonstrated in our lives. I remember when I was growing up, folks used to say, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Glory to God. He's on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a God that we serve. I'm telling you, it's power. And all of us, we should be praying, saying, Lord, help us that your presence and your power and your anointing and everything that you represent that have taken place in our lives should be demonstrated so that folks can see that you have truly, number one, have called us. That's the first thing, that he has called us. Because whom God has called, he demonstrates his power through them. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, you can look at Matthew 10, and you can see when Jesus called his disciples together, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And he commanded them, so you go. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, you go and you heal the sick. That's what he said. Don't take no purse. Oh, my God. All of us depend totally upon me, because I'm going to make way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you today that we are depending upon ourselves. We try to prepare a script. We try and do all of these things here instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us are guilty. I said all of us are guilty. There aren't any that's exonerated from what I'm talking about. We all are guilty. But the time is coming. And it's now where we, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will sit at the feet of the Master. Listen to Hakabashakelebosha. Listen to his voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to the voice of Jesus and say, Master, glory to God, teach me more. Let your presence be manifested in and through me. Demonstrate your power. You are the king of this kingdom that I'm, my God. Demonstrate your power through me. Praise God. And I tell you, many folks will see the signs. I said they will see the signs. Glory to God. Because that's what they're looking for. This is why people are running from one church to another. They're just hopping over from one church to another. They are looking for something. Glory to God. My Lord, they're looking for signs. They not only want to hear somebody saying, well, yeah, I got the power, but there's nothing demonstrated. I'm telling you, out there in Radio Land, we all are guilty. Let us lay at the feet of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in and through us. Glory to God, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We know who we are. We are children of the Most High God. We have the power of God operating on the inside of us, but we must let it be a manifestation. Many people are claiming the power is on the inside of them. Well, demonstrate that power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said demonstrate that power. My God, let that power be manifested through you. Praise God. It is not you that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. My body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Let the Spirit of God be manifested so that the work can be done. Glory to God. So folks can be healed. Folks are sitting in churches confused, oppressed of the devil. But I want to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. There is power in the name of Jesus. Let the power of the Holy Ghost be demonstrated in your life. Glory to God. And in those that come for prayer, those that need healing. You can't heal anyone. It's the healers on the inside of you. Glory to God. You can't set nobody free. It's the one on the inside that sets folks free. Glory to God. Through the truth of his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Mr. Gloria. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his power. Glory to God. I know who I am. And you should know who you are in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of the living God dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. I remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And he told them, he said, listen. The kingdom. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for the kingdom. See, natural eyes looking for a natural kingdom. But Jesus told them, said, my God, he didn't say my God, but Jesus told them, said, listen, the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation. In other words, you don't see this thing. There's a demonstration of this kingdom. Hallelujah. What he said, that the kingdom of God does not come by way of observation, but the kingdom of God is in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, when he said that, the Pharisees were looking for a natural kingdom, but there is no natural kingdom. This kingdom is not with observation. Praise God. And I still look at that verse of scripture where he told them that the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is within all of us that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because the word of God tells me that I've been translated. Glory to God. I'm in that kingdom and the kingdom is in me. Praise God. I said I'm in that kingdom. And that kingdom is on the inside of me. That kingdom is power. Praise God. Folks today are tired of just hearing lip service, organized sermons, all of this stuff that they do in their own ability instead of allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to be manifested in their lives. I say we all are guilty. Some folks go to the internet, get their sermons, and give to the church. But I want to tell you, we must depend on the one that is on the inside of us. And that's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He dwells on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lay at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative language. Lay at his feet. Depend on him. And allow him to manifest himself in us. I tell you, we all are guilty. But today, after you've heard what I said, you can, you have the opportunity to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest his presence in and through us. Praise God. I thank you all out there in Radio Land for listening. And just remember what the Word of God says. As a born-again believer, you have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until the next time, I pray for your safety and pray that you will hear the voice of God, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God bless y'all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church. located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.